This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
12:03, Tuesday afternoon, the 2nd of July. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us on the Noon Business Hour. I'm Rob Hart. It's Travel Tuesday. In our next segment, we discuss representing your country while on a trip abroad. Right now, the 4th of July, just 2 days away, and something that's very American is minor league baseball. We welcome in Sean Hunter, owner of the Chicago Dogs in Rosemont. Sean, thank you for joining us today. There's nothing more American than baseball and hot dogs, and this weekend you bring both under the same roof, as it were, in Rosemont.
We do, Rob. We've got it all. We've got baseball, hot dogs, and fireworks, so I think that screams America. And we're looking forward to treating the fans to a big week.
Now, before we talk about the Chicago Dogs experience, I live not too far away from the Dog Stadium in Rosemont, next to 294 and next to O'Hare Airport. So one logistical question I have for you is, how do those fireworks shows pass FAA muster? Because when you're at the game, sometimes the planes are either taking off or landing right over the stadium. So how are your relations with O'Hare and the airlines?
Very, very good. You know, it's a great collaboration with the FAA. We usually give them a 10-minute warning before we're going to shoot the fireworks. And, you know, the Village of Rosemont's been doing this for years, so it's a pretty smooth process. And they can divert the planes during that window that we're shooting fireworks. But it's very smooth. On Thursday night, the 4th, we'll launch exactly at 9:30. So they'll go off at a confirmed time of 9:30.
And I do want to ask you, Sean, just about the state of the business since you opened in 2018. And how much of a turning point was 2020? Because it was one of the few baseball facilities in the region that could open with limited capacity, of course, during COVID. There was a limited schedule with other Chicago area teams. Was that a turning point, though, in bringing people in and introducing people to minor league baseball who may not have been familiar with it before?
For us, we got to play in front of 25% of our fans, and so that was really a launch pad for us, and we now lead the league in attendance in the American Association. So we look back at 2020 with some good memories.
And then very quickly, when it comes to just the realignment of minor league baseball that took place prior to 2021, how beneficial is it that you do have these regional rivalries, not only with the other Chicago area minor league teams, but with the Milwaukee Milkmen?
Oh, it's great. We got rivalries, and we're also now a partner league of MLB. So our players, when they move up, they can go to a number of teams, and the Dogs have sent 6 pitchers in the last 3 years to the major league. So it's great to celebrate their success and follow along.
Sean Hunter, owner of the Chicago Dogs in Rosemont, thank you for joining us today. Coming up, avoiding the title of ugly American when traveling overseas.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
You may not consider yourself an ambassador when traveling to another country, but the reality is you are representing the U.S. through your actions. Let's talk about not being the ugly American with Joe Brancatelli, editor and publisher of JoeSentMe.com. Based in New York, he joins us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home. Joe, thank you for joining us today. And what are some ways in which you can be the ugly American outside of the most obvious ones, being loud, obnoxious, perhaps overserved, and demanding to be taken care of in your language and not theirs?
Well, I think part of the problem is attitude on the part of the visiting Americans. What happens in Copenhagen or Catalonia or Cartagena does not work in Chicago, obviously, and the reverse is also true. Don't go into an Italian pizzeria expecting deep dish or tavern-style pizza, for example, and then bang on the table because you didn't get the pizza you expected. I mean, that's basically what it comes down to, whether it's food or activities. Understand the culture you're going to and understand you're the guest in their country.
And then above and beyond just the considerations of etiquette, if you go into any establishment in some other country and begin acting like the stereotypical ugly American, you tell everybody there you're not from around here, and that could potentially make you a target.
That is true. That is absolutely true. Now, I could also make the case a New Yorker coming to Chicago makes themselves, you know, obviously you're not from around here, and Chicagoan coming to New York the same way. Although given how much impact financially American travelers have anywhere in the world, you know, there's wide berth given. But if you come to a country or a city, I mean, even a place like London, where the language is relatively the same and the culture is familiar and similar, if you stand out, you become a potential target for everything from, you know, a shoplifter to someone who'll grab your pocketbook or wallet to a more violent crime. That would happen in a third world country.
We're talking about how to avoid the stereotypes of being the ugly American with Joe Brancatelli, editor and publisher of JoeSentMe.com, based in New York. And some things you can do, just a little bit of homework before you leave. Know a little bit about the place you're visiting. Know at least a few words. Respect the local customs. Understand the culture. This one I enjoy. Don't talk politics. And my question for you is, theirs or ours?
Yes. I mean, don't go to France this week and chime in on their elections. Don't go to the British are having their national elections on the 4th of July. Don't do things like, well, the 4th of July, you're finally having an election, huh, here in England. You know, it just doesn't play. And I think it's actually easier than ever to be a respectful traveler because we have the internet. Google local customs. I mean, literally, you have to do no more than local customs in London, local customs in France, local customs in Italy, or local customs in Brazil. It's easy to find if you go with the mentality that says you do have to be a respectful guest in someone else's house.
Joe Brancatelli, editor and publisher of JoeSentMe.com, based in New York. Thank you for joining us today.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
More than ever, grandparents are a major part of their grandkids' lives. The Census Bureau reports about a third of grandparents who live with grandchildren under the age of 18 are responsible for the child's care. Let's discuss ways money can be used to help improve their lives, whatever the situation is, with Sherry Greco-Rikus, co-founder, Rappaport Rikus Capital Management in Chicago, author of the book Maximize Your Return on Life. Sherry, thank you for joining us today. And we talk about grandparents living by example and by imparting good money management lessons on their grandkids. What are we talking about here? Does this mean that grandma and grandpa can't assume their official role of spoiler of their grandchildren?
Well, you know, I know being a grandparent is a lot of fun and a great honor, and it kind of brings me back to a T-shirt I saw once in Disney World that said, if I knew being a grandparent, I would have done that first. So congratulations to
yes.
our grandparents, and enjoy the role. But the first point you bring up is spoiling the grandchildren. It's so easy to do when you're a grandparent. Make sure if you're buying a gift, it's for a birthday or for a celebration. Just don't buy a gift. You know, of course you're going to buy a gift for no reason time and time again, but try not to spoil the kids. Make it meaningful. Make it a meaningful gift.
Now, we talk about, outside of the fact that maybe the grandparents are the ones who buy the video game system at holiday time, or maybe they get them the really cool birthday present, but we do find situations in which the grandparents are paying for a child's education or maybe a big vacation. And what kind of negative lessons could that pass along to a grandchild about where money comes from and how things are paid for?
Well, first of all, if you're going to buy, you know, take a big vacation or really big gift, make sure you get the buy-in from the parents, because I think it's important that you're all on the same page. But you mentioned something earlier, lead by example. I think sharing your values with the grandchildren is a good way to do it to avoid a mistake. So if you love traveling, explain that to the grandchildren. You're taking them on a vacation because you love to travel. If it's education, explain that this is a core value of yours, education, and you want to do something for your grandchildren. But make sure that they understand. And sometimes it's good to have skin in the game. If you're helping the grandchildren for education, maybe a small loan might be good, a small student loan, so that they understand the value of the gift that they've received.
Now, we're talking about money lessons that grandparents can teach their grandchildren with Sherry Greco-Rikus, co-founder of Rappaport Rikus Capital Management in Chicago, author of the book Maximize Your Return on Life. And then here's the morbid question, Sherry, and that is, if you, as the grandparent, once you shuffle off this mortal coil, what can you do to make sure that that grandchild potentially has a healthy financial gift, and how can it be spent wisely?
Yeah, and that brings up one mistake often that I see parents and grandparents is not teaching the value of money or saving. So I think when you're a grandparent, when you have a grandchild, encouraging them to get a job, make some money, and the best gift you can give to them is to maybe match what they make and put it in a Roth IRA. So when they're young, they're going to learn the power of savings. They're going to learn investing. That Roth IRA will grow tax-free for the rest of their life. And it'll be a gift, you know, 40 years from now. They'll think of you, remember, and love that gift. But as far as inheritance, you know, again, it's passing down the values in addition to the valuables and making sure that your grandchildren are ready to steward this money. And if not, make sure that you have someone that can help them steward the money, because, you know, this sometimes is a one-time gift that a grandchild will get, and you don't want that money wasted.
Sherry Greco-Rikus, co-founder, Rappaport Rikus Capital Management in Chicago, thank you for joining us today. Still ahead on this Travel Tuesday, the time is right to plan for a fall cruise. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Chicago's news, traffic, and weather station, News Radio 105.9. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon, I'm Rob Hart. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. The Supreme Court decides whether to take on a gun law case from Illinois. There are questions about the impact of the High Court's decision on presidential immunity on the Trump hush money trial. In Travel Tuesday, October is seen by experts as the best month to take a cruise. We'll help you start planning now, and General Motors is reporting its highest quarterly sales in 3 years. WBBM BBM Business. The markets are mixed right now. The Dow is down 13 points, NASDAQ up 89, S&P 500 up 11, 67 degrees right now under cloudy skies. It's 12:31, topping our news at the half hour. The Supreme Court says it will not review multiple challenges to an Illinois law prohibiting certain semi-automatic weapons. The Protect Illinois Communities Act still faces proceedings in lower federal courts. The ban on semi-automatic guns and high-capacity ammunition magazines was passed by state lawmakers last year in the aftermath of the 2022 Highland Park parade shooting. New York prosecutors say they agree with a request by Donald Trump to postpone his criminal sentencing so the judge overseeing the case can look into whether the Supreme Court ruling on presidential immunity might impact the case. Pace University law professor Bennett Gershman doesn't think the high court decision will have any effect on the hush money guilty verdict.
Virtually all of the evidence that came in that case involved Trump's actions well before he became president of the United States. And the Supreme Court decision relates to a president's official act. It doesn't relate to a presidential candidate's official act.
The former president is scheduled to be sentenced next week on 34 felony counts of falsifying business records. It's 12:32 as the noon business hour continues. Markets are mixed right now. Welcome in Jim Welsh, macro strategist and portfolio manager, MacroTides.com, based in San Diego, joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home. Jim, thank you for joining us today, and a happy third quarter and second half of the year to you, Jim.
Well, thank you very much, Rob.
Well, let's talk about the latest read on the job market. The JOLTS report is out today, and that is the report on movement and the number of job openings we have relative to the number of workers out there. And it shows once again that job market continues to be resilient.
Yeah, it has been, Rob. And first, let me wish you and all the listeners a happy and safe 4th of July on Thursday. Now, the bottom line here, Rob, is that the forward labor market indicators that I use to evaluate the labor market are pretty uniformly suggesting we're going to see the labor market slow growth job-wise in the second half of this year, and we're going to see the unemployment rate tick higher. But the process has been and will continue to be gradual. But I believe the economy is going to slow more than most people expect in the second half of this year and going into next year.
Now, that takes us to comments from Fed Chair Jay Powell saying that once again, we're on the path of inflation going down once again. And it's back on track to its target. And we're starting to talk about maybe two interest rate cuts this year. What do you take of the chairman? What's your take on the chairman's comments today?
Well, my take is that the Fed looks at the economy and thinks that it's in pretty decent shape, which allows them to be more patient and wait for more cooling in the labor market, you know, labor market tightness easing, and that allows more time for the inflation data to improve. So as long as they view the labor market as being healthy and the overall economy in good shape, I don't think they're going to move before one of those two factors weakens more than what we've seen so far.
Now, when we talk about the timing of interest rate cuts once again, it always seems like when you talk about interest rate cuts, especially from the people who are expecting more rather than less, it's like talking to gamblers at the roulette table at 3 o'clock in the morning in Las Vegas. They're always convinced their number is going to come up. And if the Fed cuts interest rates, what kind of signal does that send? It's not like an everything is okay signal. It means there's some crumbling in the economy or some weakness in the economy they need to address sooner rather than later.
Rob, that's a key point that you just brought up. Historically, the Fed hasn't cut rates because inflation is down or very low. They cut rates because the economy is weakening. The unemployment rate is ticking higher. I think that is the metric that's going to guide policy over the next 6 to 12 months. And historically, when the Fed has cut rates because the economy is slowing and entering a recession, the S&P has declined. So those, you better be careful what you wish for, especially, as you point out, if the Fed cuts because the economy is slowing, that historically has not been good for stocks.
And then what would an economic slowdown look like? Because I think when we start throwing around economic slowdown or maybe a contraction in the economy, our minds immediately turn to 2008 or maybe to the first couple of months of COVID in 2020, where everything shut down and unemployment shot up into historic levels. If the economy were to slow down or even slip into recession from where we are right now, what would it look like?
I don't think it would look like any of those two episodes, 2020 or 2008. I think it'd be more like the 2001 recession, again, gradual. And as things slow, that's you have to be careful in terms of what comes out of the woodwork. I think commercial real estate is a problem, but it's probably a problem for 2025. It will get exacerbated if the economy is slowing as that develops further. So I don't think we should assume that we're going to see a 2008 or obviously a 2020 type of recession. A normal recession all by itself, Rob, would be negative for the equity market.
Jim Welsh, macro strategist and portfolio manager, MacroTides.com, based in San Diego. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up next in Travel Tuesday, planning now to get the best value on a fall cruise.
An economy of words. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Travel Tuesday, sponsored by Pre-Flight Airport Parking. As we move through the early days of July, it's time to consider where you want to go in the fall, and that may include a cruise. Let's get some tips from Cindy Richards, editor-in-chief of SheBuysTravel.com in Chicago. Cindy, thank you for joining us today. You know, sometimes I feel like we're just wishing the summer away, talking about things you could do in the fall or maybe things you can do in the winter. But when it comes to getting the best deal on a cruise fare, a little preparation goes a long way.
It sure does. And I'll tell you, I think my number one secret for booking a cruise, whether it's your first time or you've done 10, is to book through a travel agent. I don't normally say that, but cruises are pretty complicated. You know, picking the right cabin on the right floor, knowing whether you want the drink package, what excursions to take. There's a lot of moving parts. It's kind of like booking a Disney vacation, which you know a lot about, Rob.
Well, I was going to say,
it's always handy to have an expert who can help you.
Well, and there is a booming business of Disney travel navigators out there. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people who have entered the business of Disney vacation planning over the last couple of years, because as you point out correctly, there are a lot of moving parts. And you want to get the most, not only just the most bang for your buck for your cruise or your Disney vacation, but you also want to make sure you're not wasting any precious time by falling down, you know, particular technology rabbit holes or things like that. But when we talk about planning a cruise for the fall, you actually could get a fairly good deal if you go in October. And I'm guessing that's because all the kids are back in school.
Right. You know, throughout travel, the fall and the spring before kids, you know, when kids are in school and not taking time off is what we call the shoulder season. So they're always the cheapest times, the most affordable times to travel. And you tend to have smaller crowds wherever it is you're going. I mean, that obviously you don't want to do a fall foliage trip and think you're going to have no crowds, just like you would go to DC for the cherry blossoms and think you're going to be the only one there in the springtime. But but there are a lot of reasons to book now and think about traveling. There are always last minute deals. There are sites that offer last minute deals for cruises. So don't think, oh, I was hoping to still do one in August. You have a shot and you actually might get a good deal on one. You'll just have less choice. I mean, if you tend to get seasick, so you want a room that's going to have less feel of the motion of the ocean, then you're going to have less choice about that if you're booking last minute. There's a couple things to think about, especially with a hurricane bearing down in the Caribbean right now, is how that would affect a cruise. And hurricane season lasts through November, and who knows, this year it might be longer with the climate change changes. But, one important thing to know that a travel agent would tell you is if your cruise is affected by a hurricane, tough luck. I mean, you don't get a refund on the cruise because of it. And chances are, you're going to miss a port. The cruise ship and the upside of a cruise holiday during hurricane season is the ship can move around the storm. So chances are you won't be in the eye of the hurricane, as it were. but you might also miss one or more ports of call and spend a lot of time at sea trying to outrun the storm. And you don't get that doesn't mean you get a refund because you didn't get to stop at the port that you booked to that cruise because you really wanted to stop there.
And then very quickly, we talked about how cruise lines have come roaring back coming out of the depths of COVID-19, and that the ships are full and they're building new ships as fast as possible. So when we talk about a relatively cheap fare in October, how does that stack up to maybe pre-pandemic deals? Are you still paying more compared to 5 years ago?
Well, I haven't compared them to pre-pandemic, but yes, the prices are definitely up. But there is more choice, which is kind of nice. So if you have a budget that you really want to stick to, you can probably find a cruise that you're going to fit in that budget. And the other nice thing about cruises is because there are so many moving parts, you just you can book it a la carte and, you know, only eat at the restaurants that are included in your base fare. There, all the ships now have upcharge restaurants. There's drink packages. There's more expensive excursions. You could just walk off the ship and wander around, the island and have your own excursion without paying ship fees for it. So there are many ways to save money on a cruise.
Cindy Richards, editor-in-chief of SheBuysTravel.com in Chicago. Thank you for joining us today. Join us this time tomorrow for Personal Finance Wednesday. And still to come, GM is celebrating its sales for the second quarter.
You're listening to the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
General Motors is reporting its best quarterly sales in more than 3 years. Let's take a look at the numbers with Jeff Gilbert, CBS News automotive correspondent based in Detroit. Jeff, thank you for joining us today. And what a year it's been in Detroit. So much to celebrate. And now General Motors doing a victory lap.
And we'll hear from Ford tomorrow. They'll likely have a strong quarter. Stellantis, the other, the Detroit 3 kind of reports what it feels like it. But, the industry had a strong second quarter despite this cyber attack. And Toyota also had a great quarter. They were up 9%. It was a solid comeback. You know, what's happening is there are vehicles to sell. And a lot of buyers who sat out for a while because some of the lower-end vehicles weren't available came back to the market in this quarter.
Yeah, I was going to say, it seems like a lot of, if you talk to people who bought cars in the last 3 years, just because of the inventory crunch and the issues with the with putting chips in the cars, that if you went to a dealer circa 2021 or 2022, you couldn't negotiate. It was basically, this is the car as is, this is the price, if you don't like it, there are 10 people waiting in line behind you. Does this mean that the customer has a little more negotiating power?
Actually, I talked to an analyst today who said it has shifted from a seller's market to a buyer's market. And not only did what you say happen, where there was no negotiating leverage, when car makers were making fewer vehicles, they were only making the high-end models. Well, now that the inventories have returned and the computer chips are back, they can make lower-end trims. They can make more vehicles that don't have the high profit margin of, say, a fully loaded pickup truck or SUV. So there's more variety as well. And even though cars are still very expensive, there's still more for that lower-end buyer who's looking for something in the upper 20s to low 30s.
And then what particular type of vehicle is selling better than others? I know that the whole industry is trying to transition to EVs. And as you mentioned, Farley at Ford talked about how America has to get over its love of giant gas-guzzling vehicles if you want that EV transition to take place. So how are the Whoppers doing? How are the EVs doing?
Well, you know, EVs are doing better, but they've got a long way to go to close the gap with the Whoppers. Americans love their pickup trucks. Americans love their SUVs. Pickup trucks are still doing quite well, but also not just the bigger pickup trucks. We will expect to hear tomorrow that Ford's Maverick pickup, I mean, that vehicle was on fire for the first 5 months of the year, so we assume it will be doing quite well in June also. And when it comes to SUVs, Toyota's RAV4, Honda's CR-V, those mid-size SUVs, that is the heart of the market. That is a family vehicle today.
And then you mentioned the cyber attack that affected the entire automotive dealership space that's been largely resolved. And what is the impact of that, if any, now that it's over?
Yeah, the impact meant some sales were delayed and will probably be consummated in July. Some other sales that were actually finished in June may not be posted until July because of the delays, but likely it'll shift sales from one month into the next. It's a kind of thing that we tend to see with hurricanes, with snowstorms, things of that nature. I mean, they don't keep people from buying vehicles. They delay people from buying vehicles.
Jeff Gilbert, CBS News Automotive Correspondent based in Detroit, thank you for joining us today.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.